and political commentary from a socialist feminist point of view. Then at 10, it's Locus Focus with host Barbara Bernstein speaking with Dan Ceres of the Columbia River Keeper and Damon Mott's story with Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. At 11, it's First Voices Radio with Tiakasin Ghost Horse interviewing William Igiagruk Hensley, author of 50 Miles from Tomorrow. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. Want a third way to listen to all of your favorite KBOO programming? Then download our mobile app today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Act Now on Climate Emergency, Thursday, February 27th, 4 to 7 p.m. at Portland City Hall. This climate emergency rally will demand annual steps to reduce carbon emissions by at least 8% each year and to end Zenith tar sand oil exports. Enjoy street theater, music, and a puppet show. Again, Act on Climate Emergency this Thursday, 4 to 7 p.m., City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue. More information can be found at kboo.fm's homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland Women's March, Sunday, March 1st, from noon to 3 p.m. at Portland State University South Park Blocks in Portland. Portland Women's March is a rally committed to advancing political and social change to create an inclusive, safe space for women and their allies. Again, that's Portland Women's March, Sunday, March 1st, from noon to 3 p.m. at Portland State University South Park Blocks, 1436 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting on today, Monday, February 24th, 2020. And I am Cecil Prescott, and thank you so much for joining us today. If you are listening, then you are listening 90.7 in Portland, 100.4.3 in Corvallis, Albany, 91.9 in Hood River, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. And again, we are broadcasting live on Monday, February 24th. And let me give you our phone numbers if you would like to participate later on. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. Joining us this morning is Gloria Lee of the Chinese American Citizen Alliance, Portland Lodge. And I'm so grateful for you being able to wake up and be a part of our conversation this morning.
Good morning, Cecil. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
And tell us a little bit about the Chinese American Citizens Lodge, our Citizen Association?
Alliance.
The
Chinese American Citizens Alliance is a network of lodges across the United States. We're 18 lodges that started way back in 1895. Many of you out there know about the Chinese Exclusion Act and the fact that Chinese were not welcome in many places for a period of about 62 years. That means they couldn't buy property in certain places, they couldn't socialize in certain places. So some of the effort behind the Chinese American Citizens Alliance back in California, back in 1895 and the early 1900s, was to provide a means of socialization. So people may disagree with me, but personally, what I think when I think of the Chinese American Citizens Alliance in the old days, I think of what many of the people in perhaps our white communities would call the Elks Lodge or the Knights of Columbus. It's a fraternal organization. And that's what it is. But now, in modern days, most of the Chinese American lodges are also nonprofit organizations with the status of a 501c3, with the mission to develop youth leadership, support our community, and serve our community, and also civil rights. And civil rights is also part of civic engagement, which is what I do on our board, is civic engagement. Many years ago in our history, and even today, frankly, we still get calls about people who feel that their civil rights have been violated. Our membership is open to everyone. You do have to be a U.S. citizen to join. We welcome all inquiries. You can simply write to us. You go to our website at cacaportland.com. Go to contact and provide us information, and we will reach out to you. Membership is what it has been for decades. It's $20 a year.
Wow.
That's it. You get a newsletter. You get invited to the events that we have that celebrate and preserve the history of the Chinese Americans in the United States.
And tell us something about the origins of the Portland Lodge. When did it begin?
Well, we just celebrated our 99th anniversary, January 26th, with an annual gala at Wong's King that was attended by close to 300 people, 290-some people, and that was during our Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, which this year is the Year of the Rat, which is very, I would say, special, because the rat was actually the first animal of the zodiac that made it. So we are starting a new 12-year cycle.
Amazing. Okay. And you mentioned a variety of activities and of things that you are doing in terms of focus. And among those is, you mentioned, in terms of civic engagement and civil rights. Are there things of particular interest that you are working on these days?
Yes. So let me back up a little and say that CACA Portland also has scholarships and contests that high school students can apply for, and that's all on our website. Coming up in April, we'll do a one-day youth leadership conference involving high schools from Southwest Washington and the state of Oregon. We usually have about over 350 students this year. It'll be held at PCC Sylvania. So go on our website to find all that. And now to my favorite topic, which is civic engagement. Back in 2016, we started partnering with APANO, which is the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. And thanks to them and our partnership, we are able to launch a huge civic engagement effort to register voters, to educate them about democracy and what that process is, what representation is, how do we get a resolution on the ballot, why is it so important to vote, what is a closed primary, what is gerrymandering, all of these things we've been working on since 2016, thanks in part to our partner, APANO. And I really wanted to give a shout out to them, because if it were not for them, it would be very challenging for us, because we are an all-volunteer organization. Mm. Our board members are volunteers, and then we not only give of our time, but we give of our financial support. And that's the way that Chinese American Citizens Alliance in Portland has been set up. So nowadays, for a nonprofit to do as much as we do without staffing, and without some paid consultants, is very, very challenging. But we continue to be very focused on our mission. And our network helps us, and our longevity, 99 years is a long time.
Yes.
in Portland also helps us. So having said that, I am ready to go into more things about how important the census is.
Right.
To
yes.
everyone in Oregon.
We are speaking this morning with Gloria Lee of the Chinese American Citizens Alliance, and 99 years, next year must be important.
Next year is our 100th anniversary, and that's 2021. I would like to invite the public to learn more about us, because in 2021, in the late summer, we will be holding the National Convention in Portland for all 18 lodges. So there will be delegates from 18 different states. Well, I wouldn't say 18 different states, because in California there are several lodges that will be coming to Portland for our National Convention. And our theme is going to be Generations Together.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And I'm going to be very exhausted, but it will be an amazing event, and I hope many people will reach out to us.
And going back about the importance of civic engagement, particularly you mentioned earlier about voter registration and the census coming up, and those two are important things. I've noticed on your website where you let people know that needing to register, and the important work of the census is, that's important for people to be counted, is it not?
It is very important for everyone to be counted in Oregon. We have grown our population, so one of the outcomes of this census will be adding another representative to Congress because of our population increase. So for those in the know, that is very critical that we get people counted. In communities of color, we know and we have always known that every 10 years when we do the census, there is an undercount. And there are many reasons for this. And education is probably what will help improve our count. And that's why we're here today, is to do that outreach. APANO has worked with We Count Oregon, and APANO is reaching out to all communities of color and focusing on Asian Americans. And we are part of that effort, and we're very pleased to be part of that effort.
Citizen engagement is how Gloria and I started our conversation. We met at the Lunar New Year celebration, and we started talking about civic engagement and what we were doing, and when she described her efforts, I thought, this is perfect, because one of the challenges we have in Oregon is making sure that we actually get the census out and engaged in a lot of communities of color. And so I wanted to make sure that not only did we build some solidarity by partnering and promoting her work, but also to talk about how that solidarity can expand beyond just ethnic, economic, educational borders and make it a little deeper. Now, what are some of the challenges that the Chinese American community here in Oregon face when it comes to getting recognized and getting the count out so that you can be empowered by having new representatives elected into to our various legislative bodies?
I'm going to qualify my statements by the fact that the Chinese community is a large sector of the Asian American community. There are Chinese and there are Chinese Americans. There are two main dialects used in Portland, Mandarin and Cantonese. And if you speak one, you will probably not speak the other as much. Or if you don't speak the other, you won't understand the other dialect. It's the similarities are the same similarities between speaking German and French. They're totally different. So having said that, I know that in many decades here in Portland, because I am almost a native Oregonian after living here since 1979, our Chinese community has many components. So I do not pretend to represent everyone.
Speak for everyone, right.
What is challenging for all communities of color in the census is why we do the census, why it's important. And this year, this is the first digital census
yes
this country has ever had. So you will be able to actually go online and complete your census and send it off. You can still get the paper form and mail it in, and you can call a telephone number and have someone speak your language and help you through the census. What we have found in voter registration, however, is that people tend to participate when they trust you, when there is a previous relationship. And that's why all communities of color and the leaderships in our communities are reaching out before the census enumerator, who's going to come around. Now, we are not census enumerators. Those are people paid by the Census Bureau to knock on your door and make sure you complete the census. That can be fairly frightening. Yes. If English is not your first language, and even if English is your first language, opening a door to a stranger nowadays can be a little scary. So what we're doing is having outreach sessions, talking to friends and family about what the census means, particularly in communities of color where there can be some economic disparity. What the census will do is count you. Yes, a baby does count. And what that means, as tumbled by all the statisticians, is for this census, it's about $3,200 a year per person annually for the next 10 years for things like affordable housing, in particular Section 8, because that's a HUD, it's a federal government funding for low-income housing. It's our roads and transportations. It's our school lunch programs. It's our public hospitals. It's our unemployment insurance. It's Medicaid. It is so many things that will come to the state of Oregon if you are counted. So an undercount will represent a loss of funding. I think, if I recall right, I think the last census in fiscal... in fiscal 2016, Oregon received over $13 billion in federal funding. And that was more than one-third of the state's general revenue funds that year. So that federal funding is critical to the lives of Oregonians. A good portion of Oregon's budget, therefore, comes from this federal funding. And we need to be counted.
What are some of the barriers? You mentioned earlier about language in terms of cultural differences of people being familiar with people. What are some of the barriers that prevent people from either participating in the census or feeling that they don't want to or they can't participate in the census? I've recognized, you know, the benefits of being counted, as you just enumerated, but there are some barriers that prevent people from participating.
Well, there are many barriers, and I think it's education that's going to remove those barriers. First of all, you do not need to be a citizen to be counted. You have to be a human being. You have to be in a household on April 1st in Oregon. It will not ask the citizenship question, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit. Several people have called and contacted us. The U.S. Census Bureau is in charge of counting. That's what they do. They produce surveys for many different departments of our government and many different agencies, and it goes out under the U.S. Census Bureau. I've had two people contact me, one in the southwest area of Portland, one in southeast, that they had already done their census. Now, that's not possible because the postcards haven't even gone out yet. Mm. What they did was they completed an American household survey, which is a survey administered by the U.S. Census Bureau. It is not the census. Mm-hmm. The census will not ask for your citizenship. The census will not ask you for a financial contribution to any party or anything. And I think that's the first two things people have to understand. Census enumerators, if they come to your house because you haven't submitted your census, are bound by federal law under very strict penalty to protect confidentiality. And violation of that is not only a huge financial fine, it is also imprisonment. So it's something that I think I can see the fear, especially if you happen to be an undocumented immigrant, if you happen to be a DACA recipient, if you happen not to be a citizen. And then I can see that, and I hope that we can dispel that fear and gain participation. I think for all populations, regardless of color, there is a sensitivity towards invasion of privacy. Some people will feel that the questions are invasive. Who needs to know how many people live in your house? Who needs to know that four families are living in my house? You know, yes. Who needs to know that I have a child born out of wedlock? Who knows? Who needs to know any of this? So there is that in general.
The fear of being judged. Yes. And the information being used against you.
That is very true. The fear of someone reading this and being judged applies clear across the board.
Yes, to anyone, to any family. Yeah.
And then I personally run a nonprofit that works with underserved populations in low-income housing, and I think there's some sense of futility. Why do I want to do this? Yes. It doesn't matter because I have no control. I think there is that, and so... In fact, I'm leaving this show today to do some training with my staff on the census because that's going on all over now. And then bless our libraries. Our librarians are getting training on the census so that when people go to the library, because people tend to trust librarians.
Yes.
The librarians can also help. So we're doing a huge outreach to all communities. When I did my training as an ambassador, in my little group was also a Native American from Warm Springs who said that he, in past decades, he's watched people when we used to do everything by paper.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When people used to get the census and they would just put it in the recycle bin. Mm-hmm. Because it's something that they don't understand what the impact is. They just see it as something that is invasive to them. So we're hoping to overcome those barriers. And we are going to be doing training and information sessions. The Chinese American Citizens Alliance is doing them. APANO is doing them. Latino Network, a lot of us, of organizations from communities of color. And I should give a shout out to the We Count Oregon campaign, who APANO is their partner, but it is also NAYA,
which is the CASA, Native Americans Youth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Latino Network, Futures Lab. So there are many partners on that. And if everybody will just Google We Count Oregon, mm-hmm. they will get a lot of information about what is the census, is it safe, and what's different about the census this year, and who are the hard-to-count communities, and how can we reach out to them. So.
Well, one of the reasons it's really important to be involved in the census for the Asian and Pacific Islanders communities here is that they are the fastest growing group in the United States right now. And we know that based on the way the political parties are counting and courting all of the groups and subgroups, it's really important that we get as many folks registered and counted as possible, because by counting the Asian and Pacific Islander voters, they're going to get more representatives, and there's the hope that they can sway a lot of the elections coming up by having an informed, not just being by counted, but having an informed vote. And I've been reading some of the articles that not only speak to the challenges of our, what's a nice way to say this on the radio about it? Our plutocrats, we'll just call them. You know, and the way
yes,
they want to
heard
speak,
that word tossed around
yeah,
lately.
You know,
the and way, the socialists. And
there you go, all of them. You know, they're trying to color things in a way that hide what the real issues are. You know, like when you talk, we were listening to Democracy Now, and you mentioned wanting subsidized health care, and people automatically do the knee-jerk reaction and want to say communism or socialism. But they're hoping that by not engaging people honestly, they're hoping by groups not being comfortable with the mechanisms to get them out to vote, that they can limit that kind of informed populace that'll change these things. And so I'm really wanting to encourage people to get involved, check out We Count Oregon, sign up, maybe do some training, maybe you want to do a part-time job with the census, but more importantly, encourage your friends and families to get registered and to take advantage of getting counted by the census.
So there are three levels that APANO is training at, and the one I am working at now is I am both an ambassador, and I've been trained as a train-the-trainer.
And so when you say ambassador, Gloria, what is that for people who are listening?
An ambassador is different than an enumerator. Mm-hmm. An ambassador does outreach in their communities and educates on the census. We are not census takers. I think the old word is census. The census taker is coming around.
Right. Yes.
We're not that. We are ambassadors to educate and conduct outreach. If people do not respond by completing their census, then about mid-May, so the timeline really on the census is, I think, mid-March, all this is a little gray still mm-hmm. for exact dates. Starting in mid-March, a few weeks from now, people will be getting postcards to go online and complete their census. April 1st, where you are at, April 1st, and when you think about how we have to count people, it's households, but it's also people in hospitals, people in jails, people on ships, people in the air. There's uh-huh. just all kinds of places you have to go count.
Homeless people.
And yes. Shelters.
Shelters, so all of them.
Big organizations and groups are taking care of that, what we call the more institutional counts. But we're working with households. Uh-huh. So if you don't complete the census about mid-May, you will probably get a visit from the census taker or the census enumerator. You don't have to dig too far to see that currently, I think the city of Portland is paying about $18 an hour. It started out at $17 for census enumerators.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a part-time job and you can commit to about 30 hours, there's a job for you. You'll learn all about the census, you'll get your training, and you'll get paid to be a census enumerator. Just Google census enumerators, and I think there's ads everywhere for that. That's one way to participate, but of course, what we do as ambassadors is simply the community outreach and the education. So on March the 7th, which is a Saturday, starting at 11 o'clock, I'll be doing a community outreach session, informational session, in English and Cantonese at the Lee Family Association located at 1101 Southeast Salmon in Portland. If Cantonese is your first language, this is a session you want to come to. We're grateful to the Lee Family Association for hosting this. That's March the 7th again, starting at 11 o'clock. It probably, because we're translating, so it takes a little more time, it's probably going to be a two-hour session or close to it. Depends on the questions.
Yes.
Then on March 28th, which again is a Saturday, from 10 to 12, we will be doing that same session at the Beaverton Library in Beaverton on Southwest 5th from 10 to 12 in English and Mandarin.
You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 104.3 and Point South, and the Columbia River Gorge, Hood River, Oregon, it's 91.9, and of course, everywhere on the air, it's KBOO.FM. We're speaking today with Gloria Lee, who is a representative, an ambassador, a trainer of trainers to make sure that many of the people in the Asian and Pacific Islander community here in Portland and Portland metropolitan area are counted and actually not just counted, but encouraged to get registered to vote. And so you can join in the conversation by giving us a call at 503-231-8187.
So I want you to repeat and clarify for me and maybe other listeners in terms of the census. The census count individual, whether they are residents, citizens, undocumented, everyone is counted.
Status. Yes, mm-hmm. It counts all humans.
All humans.
That's the way I like to say it.
Mm-hmm. And that information is helpful because we can use it in terms of health information, in terms of what type of services are provided?
Well, no.
Health information.
There is census information cannot be disseminated for many decades afterwards, but the count, the numeric count is used for federal funding awarded to states for many of the things that I've mentioned. It's also local community programs, but seniors, mm-hmm. veterans, public hospitals, Medicaid, school lunch programs, roads and transportations, low-income housing. A large portion of Oregon's budget comes from federal support.
And that's why everyone need to be counted, whether everyone. You're a citizen or non-citizen?
Correct, because mm-hmm. that means about $3,200 worth of funding per person every year until the next census, which is 10 years. So the census is conducted every 10 years. And that's how federal funding is determined. Now, the other part of this equation is that when the population is counted, we will probably be doing some redistricting, which then gets into a more complicated topic, which is gerrymandering.
Yes.
That can occur. And I believe in Oregon, I think our legislature does the redistricting. In different states, it's handled different ways. But I'm not quite sure I'm prepared to go into the intricacies of gerrymandering. I know right. that lines can be drawn, and I know that there's a local situation. Lines can be drawn to favor one party or the other. I do want to lead into voter suppression and voter registration. I think in the state of Oregon, we are so fortunate to be able to vote by mail. When I think of people who in other states who may be working very rigid, usually hourly minimum wage jobs, who will stand in the snow and the rain for hours on end to wait to get to the polls. I wonder where we are in the year 2020. I think in Oregon, we're so far advanced that we don't know what it feels like yeah. to have to go stand in line for hours and hours.
To possibly be handed a ballot or not and all of that.
To possibly be handed a ballot or not. So very true, because until they verify your citizenship or voter registration when you walk up to the poll, you're not going to be able to vote. So you could have stood it for hours mm-hmm. and not be able to vote.
those are things I never even think about anymore because I know I get my ballot. So what is important for everyone now, regardless of whether what communities you are in, is to go to the Secretary of State website, which is ORESTAR, O-R-E-S-T-A-R. Just Google that. It'll take you to voter registration. Go to My Vote and check your voter registration. Now, this is the time to make sure that your address is correct and that the party you have selected is correct. This leads me to the other educational component that we're working on, and that is if you don't participate in civic engagement, you may not know that Oregon is a closed primary state.
Yes.
What that means is that if you are not registered as a Democrat or Republican, and you are registered as an independent, which for the Chinese-American community, more than 50% of the people that registered with us registered as independents because they didn't understand and we haven't done enough education. So they will not be able to vote in the primaries because they won't get their ballot. It is very simple to select a party. It is very simple to change your party. Mm-hmm. You can do it all online. But the important thing is to be sure you're registered to vote. Now, having said that, we've worked with a lot of seniors, and they said, oh, we did this years and years ago. Well, how many years has it been since you voted? Well, I don't know. Well, let's check your registration. And you go online and you pull up their name and their address and it says inactive because they haven't voted for so many years.
They're dropped.
They're dropped. So they won't get a ballot. Mm-hmm. So they need to activate themselves again. And it's a very simple process online. So I just really, really encourage everyone to check their voter registration. We can even do it here in the studio for us. I mean, it's just that simple. It's about a 1.5 minute Google click and check.
We were speaking this morning with Gloria Lee of the Oregon, not the Oregon, Chinese American Citizens Alliance. And our numbers here on in the studios are 503-231-8187.
Yes. And join the conversation. I want to thank Robbie for holding. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I you know, I'm actually from Arizona, and it wasn't until I moved to Oregon that I had faith in the voting process because of how easy it is here compared to just how absurd it was in the state that I came from. But I wanted to ask a question. Did you hear that there was, I believe it was, I don't know if it was Republican or specifically a Trump ad that was using stuff that looked like a census to trick people? You know, have you heard about this? Are you aware?
Yes, I am.
I'm talking about? So
my father
was in Michigan, and he was telling me that somebody from the census had called him, and they were asking him questions about crime. They were asking him questions about if he had witnessed any crime or knows any neighbors that experienced crime. Is this stuff that the census would ask?
No.
Just in a word.
Not at all. Wow. Okay. Well, I figured it was really weird, and when my dad was telling me about it, I was like, Dad, like that doesn't sound right. And then when I had heard that there was these, you know, people that were going undercover as census for whatever reasons, but I figured that was something to do. So there is no question like that, and they wouldn't call like that, would they?
The census hasn't even started yet, so no, they wouldn't be calling. If they are calling, it's not a legit. So again, I can't say whether it's legit or not because I go back to my earlier introduction. The U.S. Census Bureau prepares surveys for many different departments under contract.
Okay.
So it could be something that's legit, but it is not the census. That's the scary thing. And as much as I know right now, I saw a copy of what I thought was the census because in the upper left-hand corner it said United States Census 2020 because that is the Census Bureau. But when I read the survey, it wasn't the census.
Wow.
that's how misleading, I don't necessarily want to use the word misleading, but you do have to read the fine print. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gloria. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robbie, for calling in.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of our newcomers are afraid of the census in a political place where they might be fleeing. These are the kind of questions that set you up, more or less. And so you find that when people are coming here from other countries, especially if they're coming as a refugee, the concerns that they be outed, so to speak, are real. You know, we don't understand those kind of concerns because for the most part, as you indicated, just by the fact that we get a ballot in the mail, we have certain privileges and certain comforts when it comes to civic engagement. And so this is a very real challenge for a lot of people who are coming here. And with regard to folks who immigrate from a lot of the Asian and Eastern countries, whether it be Pakistan, whether it be Palestine, whether it be mainland China, whatever, these are real concerns because the government does not help you be civically engaged unless you're in the right party line.
Well, not only that, just imagine that for Chinese, let's say that you were not an American-born Chinese. You did not attend public schools in the United States. You did not go through fourth grade social studies. And you are highly educated, however. You've graduated from top universities in China or elsewhere in the world. But your job and your family leads you to come to the United States. You're working on being a naturalized citizen, but you haven't done that quite yet, but you've learned a lot. You learned quite a bit, but you haven't heard about this thing called the census. Mm-hmm. You don't have that background of American history. You have the background of the history of, hopefully, whatever country you were born and raised in, and then you came to the United States. So how fearful is that when all of a sudden someone starts asking you how many people live in your home, what sex are they, what age are they, and, you know, what nationalities are they, what ethnic group? Yeah, I mean, it can be pretty intimidating unless you know why it's being done. And that's the whole purpose of civic engagement and what our Constitution protects us for, freedom of speech. There has, I think with 62 years of Chinese exclusion, Chinese communities have been able to exist because they have managed to preserve, in large part, their traditions and culture. And by sheer numbers, continue to exist. I mean, I know that the Chinatowns of the United States are disappearing, but, you know, that's really something we look at with nostalgic, sentimental values, but when you think about it, they existed because Chinese were excluded.
Yes.
And that's how they survived. And so those, some of those traditions carry over. The other thing I'm a little challenged by, because I look at some of our more ethnic Chinese organizations, and I see that there's a passing on of traditions, which is great, but I see a great deal of what is traditional in Chinese culture, which is honoring and respecting our elders. I am also concerned because when we did voter registration, we had younger people say, well, my grandma says I shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if you can relate to that.
Yeah, you know, and it's a protective thing. It's like protect the family, don't expose the family to vulnerability and risk. You know, just because you've been on the face of it accepted by this country doesn't mean you've been accepted by this country.
Very well put. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was new to me too because I am an American-born Chinese and I carry the Chinese traditions and I've learned a lot. Believe me, I've learned a lot. But I've never really, and I do respect my elders, but I'm also 69, so I am an elder. But I just never thought that would come up. Mm-hmm. And it has come up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's why I think it's so important to be aware of these differences in cultures and how you communicate the information, and one size doesn't fit all. And so there's the need for groups such as the Chinese American Citizens Alliance to do education within communities, and education that is culturally appropriate, and receive the information that people have and say, oh, well, maybe we should think about what that means. So, you know, what you just mentioned about respecting your elders, well, how do we address those issues?
Exactly. There's just so many different individual situations. And since 2016, I think we've registered over 400 and some. I don't think we've hit 500 yet voters, but we are going to start working in depth and with those voters, and also many more voters who haven't registered to vote that are that qualify to be a citizen, that are, you know, that can vote. And now with the voting age dropping a little, we can also vote registered younger voters who may not be eligible to vote till the next election, but mm-hmm. we can get them registered.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, Robbie called and mentioned a phone call. I think he said his father or
yes.
Elder had from the Census Bureau. Now, has the census gone out yet, or when will we begin to receive
So with this first digital census, this is what I understand right now. Postcards will be mailed to households starting mid-March.
Okay.
So roughly 2.5 weeks or so, 3 weeks.
Correct.
Okay. You see?
I am even uncertain whether I want to say this on the radio, but what we have learned, what I have learned, and if somebody from Apano or We Count Oregon happens to be on radio and has more information. So you get a postcard, and there is an identifying number for that address or household.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in and submit, and I understand that the questions take about 10 minutes for an individual. But let's say you have 10 people living in your household, so it mm-hmm. might take a little bit longer, and you submit the information for all of them. But let's say you have another family living upstairs and you don't think of them because you're thinking of your family. So you go in and you complete that. That other family can still go in with that same address mm-hmm. and provide their information without the code, I believe, the identifier, which is on the postcard. That's what I know now. So, and there is a word for that. I don't know if it's a non-identifier postcard, but you do not have to. Here's the gist of the whole thing. You do not have to have a code to get into submitting the census.
Okay.
So somehow, mm-hmm. some way, technology is going to take care of that. If you are having trouble with, if English is not your first language, you are certainly free to call the phone number that's on the postcard and ask for it to be in Mandarin, in Burmese, and there are up to, I think, 13 or 16 different languages that are going to be available.
That's good. And for people who maybe are not speaking one of those targeted languages, how would they go about getting somebody to translate it? Do they have to call online? Do they have to go someplace in person? Can they access this service digitally? How do they get, if they're not one of the targeted languages?
They can call the Census Bureau.
Okay.
And I think that also we will be showing on a PowerPoint slide where they can go online to see it in Chinese.
Okay.
So that, I think our federal government has done a decent job of getting as many languages as possible. I think the real challenge is the connection to encouraging people to complete the census and why it matters.
So I'm going to ask one of these questions that might be in somebody's, in the back of their mind. Knowing that the Asian and Pacific Islander populations are the fastest growing in this country. And knowing that there's been a lot of barriers to and concerns about getting registered, what would you say is going to be the one thing you want a person, regardless of how old they are, to take away from this conversation about getting their family or friends involved? Because I want them to take it away and get out here and count and get out and vote as well, get registered to vote. What's the takeaway?
I think if everyone who is on this program will reach out, make the commitment to reach out to five other people and ask those five other people to reach out to five other people to inform them of what is so important and critical for the census. If nothing more than understanding that the census is what determines how much funding comes to the state of Oregon for programs that improve the quality of our life. And those programs are, again, I've mentioned many of those federal programs, which I think when roads are built, well, let's think of the I-5 bridge.
There you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. When federal funds are allocated, they impact our lives, and they impact our lives in big ways.
Yes.
So I think the outreach is 5, 5, and 5, because people participating is going to be because it's peer support. Mm-hmm. It's someone encouraging a family member, encouraging a friend, talking to an elder, talking to someone younger. The baby born on certainly if you're having a baby on April 1st, you're not thinking about the census.
Right.
But that baby counts.
That baby counts. And whether you just have family members who are temporarily staying with you, but they stay with you most of the time, or they split the time, or whatever combination, count them too.
Yes.
Just count every human being.
Ever, if your mother-in-law is visiting from Arizona, Robbie, are you still listening? And she's in your household, and you live in Southeast Portland, you count her. That's mm-hmm. what I have learned so far.
And the A reason why isn't vote important to vote, I mean, to be counted, is not only because of the services, but it also has something to do with, in terms of earlier you mentioned here in Oregon, we'll probably add another congressional seat.
Correct.
So we need mm-hmm. to count every person so that our we will have adequate representation in the federal government, in the U.S. Congress.
Correct. I think that the goal is that by December or so early in 2021, redistricting will begin in our legislature, which is, again, either reconfirming or redrawing. And I think in most cases, because we're adding another congressional seat, we'll be redrawing district lines. You can draw lines. I have a great exercise on gerrymandering that is challenging, but it's you can draw lines to favor one party over another. Very, uh-huh. not with too much difficulty. And I actually was surprised how easily it could be done.
And the who's counted in the district is the number of people. It doesn't is it whether or not you're a citizen or not. It's how many people.
You do not have to be a citizen. You do not have to be afraid that you are not a citizen and will not be counted. As I said, the Census Bureau information is kept in a separate, if I want to say, bucket mm-hmm. that's not going to be exposed to ICE, the
yes.
police department, or any other agency other than for what the purposes are intended for.
You know, since Robbie did call in, and since we are talking about what kind of information is collected and how, it's really important as we're getting the word out to people, let them know there's some things the census does, it will not ask. It won't ask for, like, your Social Security number. It won't ask, it should not ask for any bank information, banking information or money. So, you know, if you hear that, you know, invite the person out of your house quickly, you know, have them leave, because that's not a question they should be asking. And make sure you check for an ID or badge if you're concerned. And making sure that this is an official representative is a big concern to a lot of newcomers to our country, because, as Robbie said, scams happen to anyone. And so if you're not from this country and you're not familiar with it, I can appreciate how it would make the situation more fearful if you're not sure. Ask for identification. You know, they should have a badge or something like that to identify themselves.
And one sure way, we will be having what I call census parties. I know that with another one of our partners, the Asian Health and Service Center over on 92nd and Southeast Foster, in fact, tomorrow I think I'm training their staff, and they'll be working with their clients who come to the center for health.
Mm-hmm.
We will have tablets and internet connections available, and we will set a date where people can come and complete their census and work with someone that's a known entity.
Yes.
In their lives. So the goal is to not have the census enumerator, frankly, come knocking on your door because you failed to complete the census. The goal is to have someone within your community that you know and trust assist you with the census if needed. Otherwise, for everyone else, I know that in the Chinese community, many people use their kids.
Yes.
To do their translations,
that
as they do
in
all
immigrant communities. Yeah,
right. Have your kids say, "This matters. Sit down and help me complete this," and keep your information intact.
Okay, I think we have one final call. Frank, good morning.
Good morning,
Frank. Are you there?
Hello.
Okay. Hello?
Okay, there we go. Hello. Is this Frank?
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. My question is, what information are we obligated to give them just by law? Just our name and how many people in the house, or do we have to give them age, phone number, and all that? Take my answer off air.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your call.
It will ask for a telephone number. How many?
Oops. Okay. There we go.
It will ask how many people were living or staying in this house, apartment, or mobile home on April 1st, 2020. It will ask, that's question one. Question number two, were there any additional people staying here on April 1st, 2020 that you did not include in question one? Is this house, apartment, or mobile home owned by you, rented, occupied without payment? What is your telephone number? So please provide the first and last name of each person living in this household. What is the sex? What is the person's age? Is the person of Hispanic, Latino, or Spanish origin? What is the person's race? Now, if you're multiracial, I think there is room for you to write that in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does this person usually live or stay somewhere else? And then that would be like a college student.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How is this person related to person number one? So you can see why the questions can feel like people are prying. And
intrusive.
It's a little invasive.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is read all the questions if you're using the paper form. If you're going online, you know that you're in the Census Bureau and you can follow the questions. And I strongly recommend doing that. I heard, unverified, but that if a census enumerator has to come out to your house, it's about $57 a call. Because there is labor, obviously, we're hiring.
Yeah.
So again, there's great jobs to be had. If you want to be a census enumerator, they will provide the training. And I think in the city of Portland is $18 an hour. In outlying areas, it could be anywhere from 15 to 17, 18. So I really do encourage attempting the digital census if you're comfortable with that. And there are going to be various abilities and disabilities where there may be visually impaired, there may be hearing loss, so call in, use the phone. There's so many different ways to do this. It's just, as Mikey says, do it.
So get out there and do it. Take the census. Get also registered to vote and participate, because civic engagement is your right. It's not just a privilege. It's your right. It's your duty. So take it seriously. I want to thank Gloria Lee for the Chinese American Citizen Alliance for coming on and talking about getting out and voting and getting registered for the 2020 census and the 2020 election. Also, you can check out We Count Oregon for more information about other groups of and communities and how to get engaged and how to vote. We want to ask you to stay in touch with KBOO Portland, because we are your community connection. Stay tuned, because coming up immediately is the Old Mole Variety Hour here on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m.
Hello, we are Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org.